And with that, we'll get started. And if others join, that's okay. Good morning. Thanks for joining. As you come on, if you could put your name and organization in the chat, we'd appreciate it. So welcome to Loudoun County's grant application training series. As I mentioned, this is session one, where we're going to talk about building a compelling narrative and budget development. The agenda for today, we're just going to talk about the purpose, key elements of a grant narrative, tips to crafting a winning narrative, budget components, a budget synergy with the narrative, and then we'll have time for questions. If indeed you have a question along the way, either unmute yourself or raise your hand and we can address a question at that time. You can also put a question in the chat. So however you're comfortable, if you have a question, please don't hesitate to ask, and we'll go from there. The purpose of today's session is to equip participants with the knowledge and skills to prepare a narrative and budget for funding opportunities, to increase participant understanding of standard grant proposal components. And just a note that the content and structure of this training is tailored for general knowledge of grant applications so that attendees feel comfortable with any kind of grant application submission, not just our restricted tourism occupancy tax, which I mentioned earlier, that will be more focused on session three. And that session will be on Wednesday, March 4th. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Christine Powers, who's the county's ARPA coordinator. And also with us today is Andrea Pineda, who is our ARPA nonprofit grant specialist. So we'll turn it over to Christine to talk about our narrative. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I want to kind of introduce some of the features of a grant and what to look for within the grant opportunity and how to present yourself and your organization in a winning way. Your effective grant narrative is kind of your story of your organization. This is five general components. Now, you're going to see each grant is going to ask for specific things, but in its entirety, you're going to see these five themes repeated. So you're going to have organizational backgrounds, your needs statement, project description, project goals and objectives, and implementation plan. So keep in mind that you want to look out for any specifics for an application if they're asking for information that is tailored just for your grant opportunity. So organizational background is your story. This is where you get to introduce yourself as an organization, your history, how you came about, your current mission and your current programs, especially if your organization has a variety of programming within under one umbrella. And then you're going to talk about the impact that you've had on your community or your sector. And then you're also going to want to talk about how you've established your credibility as a foundation and as an organization, kind of your boasting about yourself. You're going to talk about how you've won certain situations, how you've been successful with other projects and initiatives, and the impact that you've made in the community. And then you're going to just brag about yourself. You're going to give yourself all of the rights you have to get funding and make yourself attractive to your current funders. But ultimately, you're going to want to lay the foundation of your organization, who you are, how long you've been around. And especially if your organization has multiple programs under one umbrella, you'll want to at least make that known that you don't have just one area of focus, that you might have very, very diverse offerings. Your needs statement, this can vary amongst grant opportunities. What it's going to do is address the need or address the problem at hand. So you may introduce the problem that you're trying to solve for your organization or for the community, which is why you might need additional funding. You're going to provide a rationale for the request for funding using data and other objective resources that substantiate the need. And then you're also going to explain why your project deserves your funding. So you're going to use facts and anecdotes that support the needs of the project or the program. Data is great, but so is storytelling. So you want to be able to paint a picture and have that data to back it up. And then it is the heart of your program or your story. So you're going to, you need to understand what the problem is and its nature, how your organization is best equipped to meet that problem and that need, and then present that in a winning way in your grant. Also, you're going to want to pay attention to the grant proposal itself, because the grant might, the funder might be presenting a need that it would like to address. So you might find that the funder is offering offering a grant to solve a certain problem. And I'll actually use RTOT as an example here, because we know that the RTOT grant program does have a directive. It is to increase tourism within Loudoun County. So you know that that's the direction that the grant is going, and you can use the opportunity to then present the way that your organization can solve that and can increase tourism within the county itself. Your project description is what you plan to do. This is what you want to do to solve the larger project at hand and the larger problem at hand. So you're going to describe the details of one project, including all the phases and all the processes involved. If it's a one-time event, you're going to describe the processes involved in putting on the event itself, the production, the staff involved. This is how you define your scope, you set your expectations, your planning, and the facilities, communications, all of which are essential for your project success. So you're going to talk about the project, why you're doing it, who's responsible for each task, where will it take place, when will it take place, and how is it being implemented. Your goals and objectives. How will you, what you hope to accomplish through this project and this initiative? So you're going to describe the situation at, is expected to change as a result of this grant program. So how is this going to improve tourism, or how is this going to improve a situation? How do you expect to measure that? How do you expect to identify that those outcomes and benefits were achieved? And how are you going to be measuring those? We have a kind of an acronym, SMART, SMART. Your goals are specific, they are measurable, they are achievable, they're relevant or realistic, and they are time-bound. So you're going to say, you're going to be specific on what will be accomplished, what actions you will take. You're going to measure, what data will you use and how will you be measuring it? How do you gather this data? Is this goal doable? Is it achievable? Does your organization already have the necessary skills and resources? Is it relevant and realistic? Do your goals align with the broader goals of your organization and the broader goals of the grant opportunity? And why is the result important? And time-bound, what is the time frame of the accomplishing of this goal? So clearly defining those timelines and start date, target date, and the purpose to create urgency. Your implementation plan, what steps are involved in your executing your project? So you're describing your activities that will directly support the achievement of your objectives. And this implementation plan is to ensure that you can answer the who, what, when, how, and why of the project, and the action plan that turns your strategy into a specific task. It will combine your strategy, your process, and action, and to include all parts of the project from scope to budget and beyond. So an implementation plan will address how will you measure your success, and you will include specific metrics given the grant performance period. You will give examples of past metrics and successes. And when you're developing these activities, it's important to only list activities that are relevant to the specific objectives. And if the specific objectives and activities are not related, it will signal to the funder that you're not clear on what you want to achieve and you may not have a good plan. So your activities are how the project produces results. so it is vital that the activities are well thought out and documented.
Christine?
Yes.
Before we move to evaluating your project, you put out a lot of information there. So I just want to pause to see if anybody has any questions on any part of the general narrative components. Any questions so far?
No feel free to. For me.
No questions? Okay. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to unmute yourself. You can raise your hand or put a question in the chat as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Barb. So as you're evaluating your project, so this will come to a place called theory of change and theory of action. So this is kind of a tool or roadmap to plan, evaluate, and communicate the intended outcomes of your project or your program, and how specific activities lead to your desired outcomes. And it connects your short-term efforts with your long-term impacts. So it kind of creates a map to show when you're talking about your implementation plan, this theory of action will then turn those little implementation plan and that checklist of activities into those long-term impacts. So what do you want to achieve and how will you get there? And why do you believe that those steps will work? So this will clarify your goal and provide clear direction by outlining specific outcomes. And it helps to improve your planning by you can align your efforts and resources more effectively. And it enhances your accountability. Your stakeholders will then understand how activities contribute to your desired outcomes. So it answers the big question of why are we doing this? Why do I have these tasks here? And why am I asking my staff to do these tasks? And you can explain that these tasks will then lead to this information, and this information will lead to these decisions, and these decisions will impact our greater outcomes. And then it supports your evaluation. You will be able to allow for measurable progress, and you will be able to assess that impact. And then that will go ahead and empower you for future grant opportunities, and you will be able to demonstrate the successes that you've had in the past and how you've been able to measure those and implement those changes and those impacts. And it will make your future grant applications that much more attractive. Logic model, and this is along the same lines of that theory of change. Your logic model is a graphical way to organize your information. So it is a tool that will convey your project and program in a visual format. Logic models come in a lot of different imageries. So we can help you with some templates. There's a lot of templates online and a lot of organizations that have created them, but it's along the same lines of creating that map to show you an overview of how your project will work. It will detail your inputs, basically, and what's going into this project, your activities, what's going into it, your funding, your staff, your resources, and it will show those outputs, those immediate outputs, those short-term outcomes, and those long-term outcomes. What it is not, it's not a what of a project. It's not just explaining what your project is. It's explaining what your project will do and how it will make that impact. It's a sequential listing of the when and what happens at what time. So your components of your logic model, like I said, you have your inputs, and this will be your resources needed to operate your program, your staff, any technology, materials, anything that goes into making the program and project operate. Your activities are the things that you're going to do. You're using those resources to accomplish your planned activities and to carry out your program. Your outputs, this is your immediate output, your immediate effect of those activities. What's going to happen, the number of services that you delivered, the events that you produce, and anything like that that happens immediately. And then your short-term outcomes, what you can see that will benefit your clients directly, your participants, your attendees? What do they see as an immediate impact of your program or project? And then your midterm outcomes. Have your efforts allowed for future impacts? So not only do you see the immediate results of your activities, but are they lasting? Does that have a ripple effect into the long term? And then you can watch as that year over year, those long-term impacts. So you can build on activities from 1 year, maybe scale up or maybe increase and make those changes that would cause those lasting impacts year over year. So in developing your narrative, there are some tips and tricks that you may find helpful. And you want to know and understand the grant itself. So watch out for your RFPs and NOFO. NOFO is a notice of funding opportunity. So knowing your funder and knowing that opportunity and the way that they explain the opportunity is very important. So you look for those details and you follow directions to a T. Demonstrate your qualifications while also admitting your weaknesses. You don't have to go into great detail sometimes. You can be able to explain that if you found yourself in a situation in the past where mistakes were made or things did not turn out the way you had hoped in a certain project or situation, you can use that opportunity to explain how you pivoted or how you've solved a problem that that came up. You can show those strengths by explaining, yes, we found a weakness, we addressed it, and now we're better for it. So then you can also refer to previously funded projects. If you've been the recipient of grant opportunities in the past, this is a great way to explain how you've been a good steward of funders' money and that how you've been very successful in implementing those projects and those plans. You can also understand the criteria of the evaluating proposals. So within that opportunity and that request for proposals, they'll explain how they're going to be grading or scoring your proposal. And make sure you understand how they're doing that so you can formulate your responses in a way that highlights those criteria and those features. Writing clearly and concisely. It's good to also have someone else in your organization to kind of proofread what you've put out there. You can maybe practice out your responses before you do submit your request so you can have other people look through it or do it as a team. And then have someone outside your organization even review your proposal. It's one thing to be really, really, really close to your organization and what you do, and you know what you're trying to say, and you might not even realize that you may have missed a big point. And something that is clear to you may not be clear to someone outside your organization. So if you have a friend or a colleague in your networking circles, have them take a look as well and see if there's something that's missing for an audience that's not familiar with your work. And then they can help you fill in those gaps. So that is some tips and tricks. We're always here to help. So use us as a resource to answer any questions that you have about building this. I'm going to pass this along to Andrea. She's going to talk about how you are going to develop a grant budget, which will be helpful with these grant proposals.
Hey, Christine. Hi, everyone. Now that we've gone over your proposal narrative, I'm going to talk about another very important part of your grant application, which is your budget. So proposal evaluators often spend a significant amount of time reviewing this section even before the full proposal sometimes, and a well-prepared budget will demonstrate that your organization has the capacity to manage and use the grant funds in a responsible and an effective manner. And it also shows funders that they are not the sole source of funding. They're not the only grant that you're relying on, which demonstrates to them that your project is both viable and sustainable in the long run. What is a grant budget? If you could go back one slide, Christine. Thank you. So a grant budget is a financial plan that outlines the estimated income and expenses associated with a specific project or program for which you are seeking funding. And there are two types of budgets that most that are most often required in a grant application: your project or program budget and your organization's annual operating budget. So most grant applications require a project or program budget because funders want to see the financial details of the specific initiative that they're being asked to support. For general operating requests, funders will typically require only your organization's annual operating budget instead, since the funding supports the overall operations rather than a specific project. So most project budgets include the following components. So your requested amount. This is the total amount of funding that you're asking the funder to provide. It includes all eligible expenses related to the proposed project, and it's typically categorized as either personnel or non-personnel costs. Some funders also require a match contribution, which is a percentage of the total project cost that your organization must contribute. And this match may be cash or in-kind support. However, not all funders require matching funds. Your personnel costs. So these are the salaries and the wages of staff members who will work on this project. Personnel costs should be clearly broken down by their role, the hourly rate or the salary, and the percentage of time allocated to that specific project. This demonstrates to funders, it demonstrates transparency and shows how the staff time will directly support the project activities. And it's important to carefully review, as Christine mentioned before, your RFP or request for proposals or the grant guidelines to confirm that personnel costs are allowable. Some funders will limit the percentage of funding that can be allocated to salaries, and others may restrict certain positions from being funded. So it's important to always verify that what is permitted before including staff costs in your budget. Non-personnel costs. So these are expenses such as supplies, travel, equipment, consultants, and sometimes administrative costs that are associated with the project. Expenses may also be categorized as direct or indirect costs. So for example, direct expenses will be any costs that are directly tied to the project. So it must be specifically connected to that project that you're seeking funding for, such as program materials, project staff salaries, or specific travel that's related to that project. Operating expenses can be direct if it is clearly tied to the specific project. For indirect expenses, you will also see this referred to as overhead. These costs are necessary for the overall operation of the organization, but they're not directly tied to one specific project, such as utilities, rent, or administrative support. If indirect is allowed, some funders will cap it at 10% of your budget. So it's important to read what the guidelines are for indirect expenses before adding it to your budget. Your income. This section outlines all the funding sources that will support the project, and they can include foundation grants, federal, state, or county funding, individual donors, program fees, any in-kind donations, which are non-monetary contributions. This could be donated space, supplies, or professional services. Including multiple sources of funding will demonstrate to the funder that your project is both viable and sustainable beyond that grant. Next slide, please. You could go to the next slide, please. Thank you. So in addition to the budget spreadsheet itself, many funders will require a written explanation of the numbers of your expenses through the budget narrative or the budget justification section. So this is where you'll be able to provide a little bit more context in regards to your budget. The budget narrative is different from your project narrative. So this is more, this is descriptive, a descriptive section for each of those expenses. So the project narrative will explain what you plan to do, and it also will explain how the funds will be spent and why each expense is necessary. That's that justifiable part, the why it is necessary. So some funders will require you to submit a budget narrative or justification. And it's not only a detailed description, but it provides a rationale for each of the budgeted line items. It allows you to demonstrate that every cost is reasonable, that it is allowable, and will directly connect to the proposed project. A well-developed budget and budget narrative should clearly align with the scope of work for which you are requesting funding for, and together both the budget and the budget narrative should demonstrate how the funds will be used, how the expenses support the proposed activities, and how the project aligns with the funder's priorities. So this section supports the need for each expense and how they contribute to the intended outcomes and impact of your project. When your budget and budget narrative, as well as your project narrative, are all fully aligned, it can demonstrate thoughtful planning and strengthens the overall credibility of your proposal, which increases the likelihood of receiving that funding. Next slide, please. So all expenses included in your budget must be allowable, clear and specific, and represent a cost associated with the described project. When applicable, it should include any cost calculations associated with an expense, and expenses should be rationalized within the project narrative. So what does it mean to be allowable? You're going to ask yourself, does the RFP or NOFO consider this an eligible expense? In other words, are you allowed to use this grant to fund that specific expense? They must be clear and specific. So instead of writing transportation for X program, you can say transportation for 15 students from X middle school to the youth center. So it just provides a little bit more information about what that expense is for. It must be associated with the funded project. You are demonstrating that this expense is a necessary part of your project and included in the project narrative. You can include expenses that aren't described in your project narrative because they wouldn't align. So you want to make sure that you are referring to that project narrative when you're describing that expense in the budget justification section. So, for example, you can describe it like this. Transportation is required for students to participate in youth program as outlined in the project description. So it makes it clear to the funder that this is something that you've discussed within your project narrative. Cost calculations. So a good example for cost calculations would be mileage. If you're including mileage and you're allowed to include mileage in your budget, you might describe it like this. So you have mileage youth coordinator one, 210 total. And in parentheses, you can demonstrate how the total was determined. So 4 miles, 3 times a week for 25 weeks at 70 cents per mile. And then you can reference the mileage rate. So here I'm referencing the IRS standard mileage rate that sets the optional standard mileage rate for business use at 70 cents per mile and 14 cents for charity use. This depends on the funder guidelines and your organization's own travel reimbursement policy. So for federal awards, they often allow reimbursement at the federal business mileage rate. And in Loudoun County, for example, the HSNP grant allows this as well. Each cost should be rationalized within the budget narrative. So the budget allocations must be clear and precise. You want to avoid vagueness and try and be specific as possible. A budgeted item should make sense to the overall project and demonstrate to the funder that the requested funds will be used wisely. Next slide. So a well-prepared budget will do more than just list all of your expenses. It will demonstrate both accountability and financial responsibility to the funder, which ultimately builds trust with them. It shows that your organization is committed to good financial management and gives funders confidence that their investment will be used efficiently and effectively. A strong grant budget also helps illustrate project feasibility by identifying potential financial gaps, planning for challenges, and demonstrating long-term sustainability. This reassures funders that your project is not only viable right now, but will continue to have an impact in the future beyond this grant funding. Next slide. Synergy with the narrative. So it's important to remember that your budget is an essential part of demonstrating your project's plan and priorities to the funder. And in order to do that, you want to make sure that it aligns with the project narrative. So both your budget and budget narrative should align seamlessly with the proposal narrative. Your funders need to see exactly how the resources that were requested will support the goals and activities that are in the project narrative. So funders should be able to see that each component of the narrative is in the budget, and project narrative and budget should tell a consistent and compelling story of your project's goals, activities, and financial needs. A strong aligned budget makes your proposal more credible and increases the likelihood of funding. And as we conclude this presentation, I just want to reiterate how important it is to carefully review the grant guidelines, your NOFO, your RFPs, before even applying to a grant. You want to understand what applicants and expenses are eligible. Some funders will restrict grants to specific type of organizations or specific type of expenses. So you want to understand what limitations there might be before you even apply or create your budget. So for example, does your project fall completely within the identified scope of the grant as defined in the RFP? Is it eligible? Is eligibility limited to a specific geographic location or type of organization? Many grants identify specific areas in which they prioritize funding, so making sure that your project fits this need. So taking time to critically review the funder guidelines, the RFP, can help guide and strengthen your proposal. And now I'm going to hand it over to Christine, who will lead the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I know that was a lot of information for everyone, so we can take some time to answer any questions if you wanted us to go back to a particular slide. If you had a question, we are happy to do so. We do have some time left in the training today to address any of those questions. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. We do have another session. Session two is the 25th of February, next Wednesday at the same time. And we'll dive a little bit more into data and building more of your grant that way. So we do have more sessions ahead of us. You can reach any of us at Grant's email. That way, if some question does come up later on, you will know where to find us and you can ask those questions of us there. And so we can maybe address that directly in an email, or we can even kind of address it in the next training session. Barb, did you have anything to add at the end here?
I don't, other than thank you for joining. If you haven't already done so, if you could put your name and organization in the chat so we know who has joined us today, that would be appreciated. And then we look forward to seeing you at our training next week. And then, as mentioned, again, a more specific training on the RTOT application process will happen March 4th. So just thank you.
Yeah. And for those that did join us a little late, we will have these recordings available online. So as we get them ready, we'll be able to post them. So you'll be able to go back and review. So thank you, everyone.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.